The gorge of Port Elliot Railway was built in 1854 and was the first in Australia of its kind that is run on iron rails. And that was really made to bring cargo from the river to the seaport so that it would, because of the fickleness of the Murray Mouth. It lasted for 10 years. And then in the meantime, the railway, Commissioner of Railways, etc., they put the line through to Victor Harbour. And that opened in about 1864, the line between Port Elliot and Victor Harbour. That was after the seaport of Port Elliot was closed. We had several railway stations before this one. 1866, they apparently built a small one, a wooden one that looked like a sentry box. Then they had a big gale and it blew that one away down onto the rocks. Then they built another one on the south side of the line, and eventually they had to relocate the lines, and so they built another one on the north side, and then in 1911 they wanted one more up to date, so this is the one that they built. The successful tenderer was Mr. William Essery, who was well known in the building trade in those early days. The station master who was here in 1911 was James Hilary Boko, and of course Boke Jones being his grandson and pretty well known around the south coast.
What sort of facilities did they build here at Port Elliot 100 years ago for the station?
It consisted of the railway station master's office, and I was very pleased to find, and quite excited really, to find that once they opened that office, they transferred the telegraph station from the old post office, which was up on the hill, down to the railway station. So it served as a station master's office, and also he dealt with the telegraph part of it. And then where there's the alcove for waiting and a ladies' waiting room was part of the deal.
So the ladies had an actual waiting room.
Oh, yes.
And everyone else had to sit out, well, not quite in the open, but in a bit of protection from the elements.
Oh, the ladies' waiting room had a potbelly stove, and it had an old-fashioned washstand with a hand basin and a jug and a clean towel. The ladies waited in style in there so as to keep them so neat and tidy for their journey.
In its heyday then, it would have been a pretty busy spot here, Port Elliot Station, would it?
Well, I think it must have been because, according to the reports that I've found, where they had porters and people who worked on offloading and freight and that sort of thing, eventually it didn't warrant a station master, and so they just appointed station agents. And we had boom gates down at the Strand crossing. They had to be opened and shut. The poor old station master, no, he was a station agent, he had to go down, wait for the train to come round the corner. And when it came over, well, then he had to pump down the gates and wait for the train to come through, pump the gates up again, race up the railway station and collect people's tickets. Because the gate off of the railway station was always locked, and passengers that got off the train then had to give their ticket to the... I don't know how they lasted as long as they did, because it was a fair hike up there.
The station, of course, these days is the home for the National Trust in Port Elliot, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yes. When we started our branch back in about 1982, we had really nowhere... we didn't have a building... but someone had the brilliant idea that maybe we could use the railway station for our displays and promote National Trust. And Steam Ranger were very happy to allow us to do that. This was in a pretty bad state, you know, boards off the walls, and it was really bad. So we had lots of working bees and knocked it into shape. And we now sell tickets for Steam Ranger as our community effort. We sell a lot of tickets here. At one time, they didn't want the train to stop here, so someone used to run out with a red flag And then we were told, well, you know, perhaps we can do something a bit better. And Steam Ranger really eventually realised that they were going to get some good works and results from the Port Hedland National Trust. So we've been here and we have a nice display of old memorabilia. And we also have facilities for family research. We also have the journals of Matthew Flinders here, which are so big we don't know where to put them, but we've got them and put them out on special occasions.
You've just done a lot of work, though, on the station building,
yes,
haven't you, just
have.
In time for the centenary?
Yes, we have. We've spent $35,000. It's all been repainted. And, of course, on the side of the hill, it was on stumps. And after 100 years, they were getting a little bit weak. Someone said to us, if you had a rock and roll here, the station would probably collapse. So we've had to have all those renewed. And, we're making few improvements all the time. The council have helped a bit by putting up an original picket fence. And they've planted all the garden over there.
So historically, is the station very much like it would have been 100 years ago now then?
This is. Yeah, this part is, yes, because this hasn't changed at all. And the building on the other end of the station, which became a good shed, we have turned that into a railway and seaport historical display, for which we won an award. And we haven't got enough room. You know, people are always offering us all sorts of things, and we just don't have the room to do those things justice. Who knows? You can't foretell the future. You can certainly appreciate the past.